Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. I'd like to read three portions of Scripture this morning, just one verse in each place. Matthew 27, Mark 15, and Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Matthew chapter 27, and I'd like to read verse 45 in this verse. These are the same verses, just recorded in a different way by the different gospel writers. I'd like to call your attention to the first of these in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 45. The scriptures tell us that this is the scene at Calvary where the Lord Jesus is crucified. And in verse 45, Matthew inserts this verse for us. He says, "Now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour." Mark gives a very similar recording of this same event. And he says in the 33rd verse of the 15th chapter of his gospel, "And when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour." Luke gives just a little bit of an additional detail in chapter 23 and the 44th verse, if you'll look there with us also. Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. "It was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour." Now, I'd like for you to just stay right here in Luke's gospel for just a minute as we examine this. And I'd like to call your attention to something that is specific and is very special. You know that when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross, there were a lot of things that occurred. And it is the supreme message of the Lord's incarnation, that He was crucified, that He shed His blood, that He died for us, and that this is the banner of Christendom today, and it's the cross. So then, as we look at this, I'd like for us to notice a few things in regards to this one specific thing. There was 3 hours of darkness when Jesus died on the cross. All manner of comment has been made of that 3 hours of darkness. There was not one word said during that time. There was not one event that occurred. It was simply from the sixth hour, or about noon, to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, there was darkness. And that's all the gospel writers tell us. There are many who say that that this was an eclipse. It was not an eclipse. And some say that the sun was darkened. And if you notice in verse 45 of Luke 23, the scriptures tell us, "And the sun was darkened." I want to call your attention to this word, and it's the word "and." That means that there was something totally different occurred. The darkness was not the darkening of the sun. And the sun was not put out, it was just darkened. If you darken a light bulb, you don't put it out. You just darken it or dim it. This darkness was a supernatural darkness that is so mysterious that few have ever been able to fathom this. And I'm going to give you an opinion about it this morning. And it's just my opinion. You don't have to believe this. But this 3 hours, when the Lord Jesus didn't utter a word, these 3 hours that was so unusual and rare, why did it have to be for so long? It was for a limited time from the 6th to the 9th hour. And the darkness was there. Nothing occurred. There wasn't any miracle. There wasn't any word. There wasn't any event. It just occurred. Now this is a great event. And we're not required to explain it. But as we look at this event, the Scriptures indicate that it occurred right at the 6th hour. That it did not gradually occur, but that it occurred immediately. And that it left immediately. Because it came at the 6th hour, it was removed at the 9th hour. Why would God do this? What could be the possible motive for all of this? What was the Lord teaching us? In this 3 hours of darkness when Jesus died on the cross, there are three things that I would like for you to consider. In this time of His dying on the cross for us in this darkness, here are three things that I want you to consider. That the Lord Jesus must have surely thought of the fact that Judas Iscariot had betrayed Him for money, and that he was there, in one sense, humanly speaking, because of a man's desire for profit. He was also there, and I'm sure that he was reminded of this repeatedly and repeatedly, because of the appalling unbelief of the scribes, the Pharisees, the priests, the centurions, and the people. Their unbelief and their failure to recognize who He was and the power of His Word. And one of the third things that I want you to see in this time was the frivolousness of the soldiers as they gambled or cast lots for His garments. Consider them in this order. The unbelief, the gambling for the garments, and the profit that Judas Iscariot thought to gain by betraying Him. Now you may think that this has nothing to do with the darkness to begin with, but it does. And I'd like for you to consider this. A long time ago, I used to think that once you'd read a passage of Scripture, that you'd pretty well exhausted that. I used to think that the Apostle Paul, when he spoke of to the Corinthians, that he did not want to know anything among them except Christ and Him crucified. What in the world could he keep talking about? But if you'll study the Scriptures, you'll know that they are without end and you will never overtake them in your knowledge of knowing what they say to us. 3 hours of darkness. This had occurred before. It occurred in creation. When Satan rebelled against God, and the Bible tells us that there was darkness over the face of the deep. It occurred in such a time, and I know that there are those who say that there could not have possibly been 3 hours of paralysis while Jesus died on the cross, but there was. Because in the book of Exodus chapter 10, God placed a plague on the Egyptians of darkness, and they couldn't see one another. And not only could they not see one another, but they did not realize that it was time to arise, and they did not rise from their beds during this 3 days of darkness. It was an unusual, supernatural, planned darkness. And it's a mystery. There seems to be no apparent reason why this occurred. Nothing is said, nothing is done during this time of 3 hours of darkness, which I believe was over all of the geographical world, everywhere. With this in your minds, I'd like to just bear a few verses to you. The Scriptures tell us that the purpose of God is to conform us to the image of His Son. And one of the ways that God conforms the believer to the image of His Son is that He associates that disciple with the Lord Jesus Christ and His sufferings. Let me bear this on your minds to begin with. If you'll turn with me back to Luke chapter 14, in the 14th chapter of Luke's Gospel, in the 25th verse of Luke chapter 14, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said to them, "If any man come to me and hate not his father, mother, wife, children, brethren, sisters, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple." And in the 27th verse it says, "And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." There is an association with the cross that every disciple of Christ must have. Paul said, "I want to know the Lord." And he said, "I would like to know the Lord in the power of His resurrection, and I would also love to know the Lord in the fellowship of His sufferings." Paul said in the 6th chapter of the book of Romans, "Knowing this, that the old man is crucified with Christ." And you see, every person who professes to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they must be associated with Him at the cross. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. But I am crucified with Christ." He said, "The world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And there is a constant, continuous association with the believer and the cross of Christ. Has to be. It has to be that way. Now then, this brings us to a problem, though. There are a lot of good believers in Jesus Christ. There are a lot of people who believe on Jesus Christ, but they don't suffer. There are a lot of people that profess to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, but they don't live by the principles of the cross. They don't know Jesus Christ in the fellowship of His sufferings. They don't do that. It doesn't cost them anything. There is no sacrifice. There is no determinate factor in their life to do the will of the Lord. They live as they please. Are they believers? Of course they are, if they have truly believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. But they're not associated with the cross. How many believers do you know this morning that are essentially and absolutely involved in following Christ and the sufferings of His cross? How many do you know? Well, how will God ever conform believers to the image of His Son if they're not associated with the cross? And if Jesus said, "You cannot be my disciples except you take up your cross daily and follow after me in the fellowship of my sufferings," how will He ever associate us to the image of His Son? Let me ask you to turn with me to two passages of Scripture also. Romans chapter 8. You've heard this before. It's worth repeating. Romans chapter 8. Look with me in the 8th chapter of Romans, and let's read together the 16th verse. The Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. There is a contingency on this glorification, and it is that we suffer with Him, that we are identified with Him in the fellowship of His sufferings as He died on the cross to redeem us. That's necessary. That's an absolute essential. And the problem with modern day Christendom is that it is cheap, frivolous, entertaining, and not expensive. Look with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 for a moment. Same thought. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 12, 2 Timothy chapter 2. If we suffer, We shall also reign with him if we deny him. He also will deny us. The believer has to be associated with the cross. He has to be. The problem is, what happens to those that are not? You know that there are a lot of people. You know, if you want to know how many people there are, look how many people come and go from this congregation, just this small congregation. And people say, well, what happened to this? What? Nobody willing to bear the consequences of suffering it through to the end to do God's will. There is an association with the cross that has to prevail in a believer's life. But we know that it don't always do that. It don't always do that. It don't cost many of you anything at all to name the name of Christ. It's very easy. What happens to people who never come to church, or who come spasmodically, or who do not try to live a life, who curse and swear, who drink and cavort, who do not give or support, who do not pray or read the Lord's Word, or who do not study and could care less? What happens to them? I say they're saved. If they were saved, I say they're saved. Because once you're born, you can never be unborn. What happens to them? 3 hours of darkness, supernatural darkness. I want you to notice that if you read these three verses of Scripture when Jesus was on the cross, you'll see that God didn't destroy the darkness. You don't know what happened to it. It was just lifted and gone. Now I want you to remember this darkness. And I want you to see that it was immediate. And that if you can imagine a holy man dying on the cross in silence, not a word, no word from God, no word from man, nothing but the silent, suffering Savior. Darkness. Special darkness. And he was alone. And if that darkness was as thick so that it could be felt as the darkness in Egypt was, this means that not even the thieves could see the Lord Jesus or He them. They were absolutely alone in that suffering. Then I want you to turn with me in your Bibles to 3 passages of Scripture, and then I'm going to conclude our message this morning. First of all, I'd like for you to read with me in Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew chapter 8, we'll begin reading for time's sake in verse 5. In Matthew 8, verse 5, Jesus has just come down from the mountain and healed a leper. In the 5th verse of Matthew chapter 8, the Bible says, "And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, a Roman soldier, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Here was a man who had faith in the power of the word. Here was a man who had faith in the power of the word. He believed. There are many who say they believe the Lord's word if it proves to be thus and thus. Here was a man who believed in the power of the Lord's word. The Jews had this word, but they didn't believe it. America has this word today, but they don't believe it. And this man said, "I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. I say to this man, go, and he goeth; to another, come, and he cometh; and my servant, do this, and he doth it." When Jesus heard, he marveled and said to them that followed, "Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel." Now, he had found faith, but it was not this great. And he said, "I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom of heaven shall be cast out into outer darkness." That's the darkness. That's the time when loose, unbelieving followers of Jesus Christ will learn the sufferings of the cross in outer darkness. This simply means exterior darkness, the darkness that's outside. "And there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Preacher, that's hell. No. That's a special darkness. And it will be then that every person that has not believed, and this is my opinion, it will be then that every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ that did not believe in the power of His Word, that did not trust in Him, that did not live for Him, and that did not dedicate their lives to His purpose and to His will, then they will be made aware of the 3 hours of agony and darkness with which He underwent. And they will be put in outer darkness because of unbelief. Then let's consider for a moment the fact that the soldiers gambled for his garments. Was that not rather a trivial matter? Why do you suppose that God even recorded the matter for us? That the soldiers would gamble for his garments. Let's just take a chance on who will get this man's clothes. They're not important, or they put too little value in the clothing of the Lord Jesus. So they just cast lots for it. Let me ask you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 22 for a moment. Matthew chapter 22. Beginning with the first verse, of Matthew chapter 22, Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables, and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son. And he sent forth servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. And he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen, fatlings are killed, and all things are ready, come to the marriage. But they made light of it. And they went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise, and the remnant took his servants and entreated them spitefully and slew them. And when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies and destroyed those murderers and burned up their city and said to his servants, The wedding is ready. But they that were bidden are not worthy. Go therefore to the highways, and as many as you find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good. And the wedding was furnished with guests, and the king came to see the guests. And he saw there a man which had not on a wedding garment. And he said to him, Friend, and Jesus don't call lost people friend. How camest thou in hither not having a wedding garment? And he was silent. No excuse. And one day, when we stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, all the excuses that you've got, and all the excuses that people give will be of no value. I don't like the preaching. I don't like the people. I don't like the singing. I don't like the program. I want something for this. No word. The man was silent. Do you know why he was silent? He thought the garments were frivolous and unnecessary. And the king said to the servants, Bind him hand and foot, take him away, cast him into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why was he bound? Because Jesus was bound. And Jesus could have come down from the cross, but he didn't. And either you'll be bound willingly to suffer with Christ, or you'll be bound forcefully to suffer with Christ. And then there was a man who thought by betraying Jesus, he would profit and that he would gain. Let me ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 25. In the 14th verse of Matthew 25, the Lord says, The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his servants and delivered unto them his goods. And To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. And straightway he took his journey, and he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 others. Likewise, he that had received 2, he gained other 2, but he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth, hid his Lord's money. And after a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh, and he reckoneth with them. So he that had gained or received 5 came and brought other 5 talents, and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I've gained beside them 5 talents more. And this is money. It's not ability or like the talent to play an instrument. It's money. It's a measure of money. His Lord said to him, well, thou good and faithful servant, thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. And he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed, and I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth, and there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said to him, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I gave have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received my own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it to him which had 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there are many people who say today, I will never suffer the loss of all things for the cross of Christ. Yes, you will. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, yes, you will. I'll never give all that I have for Christ. Yes, you will. You may not in this life, but when Jesus comes again, you will. You'll suffer the loss of all things. What shall it profit a man, though he were to gain the whole world and lose his own life? Outer darkness. Now I can say to you that the Lord gave that to me, and He did. Now I can say to you that that's the reason that I believe that Christ was on the cross. And this expression is only used 3 times in the New Testament, and I've read them to you. It was over unbelief, over the garments, and over the prophet. And I have nothing to offer to you this morning but my opinion and the ways that these are tied together. 3 times it's mentioned, 3 hours of darkness, that one day every person who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will experience the sufferings of the Savior when He died on the cross, either in this life or that which is to come. It will be for a limited period of time. It is not hell. But one day, the believer will experience the sufferings of the Savior on the cross. I think this is what the Apostle Paul speaks of when he writes to the Thessalonians, when he says, "You're not of the darkness." But preacher, it's not possible for a believer to be in darkness. Yes, it is. It's possible for him to walk in darkness. But to the man and woman and boy and girl that believes on Jesus Christ as Savior, and you fail to give your life to Him and live your life in association with the fellowship of the cross, one day it'll cost you. I tell you something that burdens me so bad, is to try to do so much for so many people, and then people want me to pray for them. They want me to visit for them. They want me to be their errand boy for them. But one day, it'll cost you. Now, I've never seen such appalling unbelief when people are not interested in learning from the Lord's Word. When people are so little concerned about weaving a fine linen garment of works and righteousness deeds whereby they will be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. When people are so interested in profit, most of the people who get mad at me over money. Why don't you just preach, some people say. One day, every person that names the name of Christ will bear the shame of suffering for Christ. Was Jesus without clothing on the cross? I believe so. His garments were stripped from him, and they gambled for him. And you'll either bear that shame in this life, or you'll bear it in the life to come. I'll not be naked there, preacher. The Lord said, "Behold, I come as a thief in the night. Watch, lest thou appear naked before him at his coming." If being a Christian don't mean much to you now, it will. But it'll be too late then. While we bow together in a word of prayer.